Hello, I'm Sid Roth. I'm at beautiful Redding, California, but not here for the beauty. I am here because there are miracles taking place, over 1,000. The question I have for you is, can demons cause homosexuality? My guest says yes, because he was delivered of one. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. And I have an individual here, you won't believe your eyes. I mean, when I tell you what he did and what he is today, this person was on the streets. He was homeless. He was a drug addict. He would have one night stands with men so he'd have some place to sleep. From a young age, he knew he was a homosexual and is hopeless. About the best word to describe where you were at?
Yes, absolutely.
What's it like to be on the streets and to have to do the one-night stands?
Hopeless. It's a life that is degrading. There's no future in it. It's just like a darkness, a big dark tunnel ahead of you with nothing there.
Tell me about the first time you realized you were homosexual.
I began to realize it probably around the age of 12, 13, and I just noticed that my sexual desires were not going the way that they should. Other guys were starting to get interested in girls and discovered that my attraction was for other guys.
What about women? Were you remotely interested in a beautiful woman?
Not at all. Just the thought of sex with a woman was repulsive to me. There's no desire there whatsoever.
Now, I find that there's some similar traits with people that are homosexual, and that is, in many cases, either the father is abusive or absent. What about your case?
Absent. He was a great provider physically, but he was a guy who was gone from 5:30 every morning till 7:30 every night, 6 days a week. And so he just emotionally, he wasn't there. It had no one to show me how to be a boy, how to grow up and be like other guys. And I just really felt like I was not one of the guys. I didn't fit in. There was something wrong with me.
How old were you when you had your first homosexual affair?
I'm 13 years old.
Now, while you were living at home, while you were growing up, did your parents even have a clue that you were homosexual?
No, they didn't, and neither did anyone else.
Why?
I was ashamed. I wanted to be like other people. I knew that this wasn't right, and I'd heard jokes about it, and it was horrifying to me to have these homosexual feelings and desires, and yet they were overwhelming, they were overpowering. There was nothing I could do about them.
But the most recent data, at least according to the newspapers, is that it's got to do with genes. You have no responsibility.
That's not true. I've come to learn that it has much to do with the environment that you've been raised in, the perception you have of yourself as a guy and how you fit in with other guys, and everything to do with as God created us to get to that age where our sex hormones kick in and we want the other because we have a sense of who we are as a guy. That was never developed in me. I didn't feel like I belonged, I didn't feel like I fit in, and so I wasn't sufficiently resolved in my gender identity to reach out to the other, and so something in me was reaching out to resolve that same sex issue, to just feel like I'm one of the guys.
That hopeless point was reached a point where you reached the bottom. Tell me about that.
I just hit the bottom to where I knew that either I had to do something or basically die at some point. And I just cried out to Jesus. I'd asked him into my heart when I was 9 years old. I was 26 at this point, and I just broke and said, Lord, if you will get me out of where I'm at now, I will serve you the rest of my life. And I meant it. I meant it with all my heart.
And then you heard a voice.
Yes. A voice that was relentless. For the next 3 days, this voice kept going through my head, call your dad, call your dad.
Did you?
Oh, well, it took me 3 days, but yes, I did. After on the third day, I finally gave in and called him.
Slow learner.
I was ashamed.
So you called your dad. Did
yes.
you tell him the truth?
Yes. I told him that I was just rock bottom. I needed help. And he had me here in writing that afternoon. I was in Dallas, Texas at that time. And he had me here that day. The next day, I was working for him. And I didn't know I'd be working with a pastor 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
What happened to your drug addiction?
I stopped. I just had the ability to stop. I'd use drugs every day from the time I was 15.
No. Wait. There's withdrawal.
No.
Yes,
there was no withdrawal. There was like a daily desire here, but it was not withdrawal. I would just, I'd go Jesus right. every time. And
where did you stand with the homosexual part?
Where did I stand with that? It was still there. I didn't really know what to do about it at that time. I just was just in a part of my life where the Lord was showing me how much He loved me, where I was learning about Him and the love of the Father for me and what He had for me.
You went to Bethel Church.
Yes.
And you got involved in the community. You
yes.
still had these problems.
Yes.
And you went to one of the counselors. Why don't you go to the counselor for help?
Pardon me? Why did I go to him? Mm-hmm. Actually, it just got to a point where I had enough of a foundation under me that I knew I was loved by God no matter what. I knew that I had to talk about this with someone, and I trusted him. There's some reason I knew I could trust this pastor, and I went to him, and just poured it all out. Just a lifetime of that pain and agony, the shame, the embarrassment, I just poured it out.
And so did the homosexual thoughts disappear as a result of this?
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No, they increased.
They
intensified. Pardon me?
That's a Hebrew word. Don't worry.
Okay.
Ivey is it's a Hebrew word, and we'll be back right after this.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm speaking to Ken Davies. Now, Ken Davies was a practicing homosexual, a drug addict, on the streets, one-night stands, nowhere to go, homeless, cried out to God and heard a voice that said, return to your father. He didn't want to do it, because he was ashamed. He didn't want his father to know that he was a homosexual. But he did return. He didn't even know who that voice was. And when he returned, the man he was working with when he went to work for his father was a minister. And this minister prayed with him. He got delivered instantly from drugs. No withdrawal. And he was able to abstain from homosexuality. However, it didn't stop these thoughts. And so he went for counseling in a church. And you said the thoughts got even worse after the counseling. And then one day, you went to a meeting at Bethel Church,
yes.
And what happened?
Well, I went to a singles meeting, and I wasn't able to go to these meetings very often. And so I went in, it was a Monday night, I went in, and the pastor came out, Pastor Alan Ray, and before worship started, he stood up before all of us and said, there's someone here tonight, and the Lord told me in prayer before this meeting that you were going to be delivered from a dominating spirit of homosexuality.
And you knew it was you.
I knew it was me.
But it takes a lot of courage. You've been a member of this church for a little while.
Yeah, 3 years.
So, 3 years. So what do? You're kind of caught.
Well, I just sat there and said, God, I will not let you do this. I'm not going to let you pull me up in front of all these people and do this.
Yeah. I can see you saying that.
Yeah. And so anyway, I fought God all through the worship, the message. It got to the end of the message, and there was an altar call. And that altar call was, whatever the Lord is calling you to lay down, just lay it down where you stand and come up here and worship. And so I said, okay, Lord, I can do that easy enough. And I made sure I was about the 10th person up there. And I worshiped God, didn't feel any different or anything like that. But that night when I went home and went to bed, there was something dramatically different, and that was that there were no homosexual feelings.
Are you telling me that without you even walking up when he said that, you got set free?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We serve a pretty awesome God.
Yes, we do.
So how did you feel when you realized those thoughts weren't there?
It was like, I went, Lord, show me what you did. Jesus, what did you do? And I asked him that, and the next thing I know, there's this distorted-looking creature just coming out of nowhere. It looked like a distorted little weird-shaped person, and just came out of nowhere and just hit me, and all of those desires and feelings were back instantly. And I just cried out to the Lord, no, Lord, no. And two other guys, all dressed in white, just came out of nowhere. And they just came, and they took a hold of this thing, and off they went with him.
It was like angels.
Angels, yes. And you know, one thing that I noticed is this thing was coming back, and as he hit me, was the look of murder in his face. Like actually, that was on his way out. Excuse me. The look on his face was pure glee. Like, I get my gratification through you. I have you back, and I will be gratified, and I will have all of my gratification in you and through you. And on his way out, I could see those eyes, and they were pure murder. Like, this thing wanted me dead, and it was mad that it was on its way out. And the angels just took this thing out and away, and the next thing I know, I'm standing before Jesus, and he's on the cross, and he looks up at me and says, Ken, just lay it down. There is nothing that my blood won't cover. And to this day, I couldn't tell you whether this was real or a vision, but to me, it was it's as real as I'm looking at you right now. It was that real, the whole thing.
I believe it was real. I believe you saw into the spirit realm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do too.
And I believe if you did not hold up the name of Jesus, you would have been worse than you were before.
Yeah.
But after that word of knowledge,
yes,
after that experience, mm-hmm. those thoughts, tell me about them.
They weren't there any longer. They were completely gone. I no longer had homosexual thoughts or feelings. And they were absolutely, literally gone. But I didn't have any feelings the other way either, heterosexually. And what I had to do was I talked to Alan Ray the following week and told him what had happened, and we just got plugged into some more discipleship. And over the course of the next year, I grew into my masculinity in a new way. I grew into it with other guys. I got plugged in with other guys, and actually the Lord had me disciple a group of 15 single guys. And I had to go in every week and disciple them, teach them, learn to become one of them, be loved by them. And out of that is where things begin to change. As I begin to be secure in my own identity as a guy, I begin to have this desire to meet a girl. There's a certain girl that I had a desire to meet.
Really?
Yes, I was at that
point. This is new for you.
Yes, very new.
So what did you do? Just walk up to her and say, I have a certain desire to, what'd you do?
Well, what happened was, at that point I was interning at the church. This is about a year after my deliverance. I was doing a pastoral intern at Bethel. And Donna was one of our pastor's secretaries. For some reason, I just something was clicking there. I wanted to know this girl. And so I would go see her pastor, or the pastor she worked for, three or four times a week, so I would have to pass by her desk.
Oh, and, you're making up for lost ground, I
yes.
can tell.
And one day, Donna was in the bookkeeper's office, and I had to go in for something, and I left, and the bookkeeper said, now, what do you think of Ken Davies? Would you like to go out with him? And she said, yes, I wouldn't mind that at all. And so after Donna had left, the bookkeeper trots down the hall, as she says, and walks into Pastor Allen's office and says, Alan, I think we need to set these two up. And a week later, we had our first date.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back, and how would you like to meet Donna? We'll have her with us when we come just back in a few seconds.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I know you're on the edge of your seat because you want to meet Donna Davies. Well, this is Donna.
Hello.
Donna, the two of you are obviously married now. You have how many children?
Two children.
How old?
One 16 and one 4.
And the 16-year-old was from a former marriage, and the 4-year-old is from this marriage here?
Yes.
And I guess you just lived happily ever after?
No.
I was wondering which one was going to answer that question. No?
No, we didn't.
We got married, and immediately we started clashing. We had a lot of problems we needed to work through, and the first 2 years of our marriage were literal hell.
Here are you, finally, the first time in your life, you fall in love with a woman, and now it becomes literal hell. Well, how did it change?
Well, we had a lot of work to do. One thing that
everyone's got a lot of work to do.
We had some very broken areas in our background that we really weren't aware that were there. And one was that I really didn't trust women at all. And Donna, on the other hand, didn't trust men at all.
And that sounds like an interesting combination.
And so, due to my background, my homosexual background, there were a lot of places where I was just kind of a boundaryless individual. With other women, just talking to them, there weren't any boundaries there, and that I really have not had then, and still don't have now, a general attraction for the opposite sex. It's all centered right here, and so I didn't see these needs for boundaries. I didn't understand that there needed to be tension between a man and a woman, and that just scared Donna to no end.
So Donna, what'd you think about that?
He reminded me of the men of my past. I had not good experiences with men, and so I was really fearful and not trusting. And
what did God show you to do?
He showed me, first of all, that I needed to have boundaries between myself and women, that there are natural boundaries between men and women, that there's a tension there that should be there, and believe me, I learned about that tension real quick. Then the Lord told me, "Ken, you cover her and you protect her," whereas she'd.
What do you mean? What do you mean by cover, and what do you mean by protect?
Okay, well, Donna's greatest fear was that I was like those other men in her past, which I wasn't, and so I did not understand her fears, her emotions, and instead of responding there with, "Oh, I see what you're feeling, I understand that, let me protect you here, this place where you're vulnerable," I lashed out at her. I saw her as someone attacking me, calling me bad, and I lashed out,
It was almost a setup.
Yes.
The devil said, "Well, I lost him to the homosexual spirit, now I'm gonna get him into a divorce."
Yeah, exactly. And it was that bad. It was tough. We fought like cats and dogs for 2 years.
What are you doing different now?
I'm covering my wife. I am being the man that she needs me to be. I understand that she has a heart and vulnerabilities and emotions that I need to protect. And first and foremost, that's my heart, is to cover her and protect her vulnerabilities as a woman.
Give me an example. Okay. How do you protect, and if I can't, okay, if it's not going to be too personal?
No, it's not. There are areas where we have guys, a lot of times women will come in and will think they're all emotional, and what they have to say has, it's not all that important. It's just all that feely woman stuff. And actually, it's a very important part of who she is. And to cover her and protect her there is to mean that I hear her there, I don't ridicule her there, but I love her there, and I give credence to what she has to say.
How did you learn how to do this? Because it had to be learned.
It had to be learned, and it was actually a God thing there. It's, much of what I've learned coming out of homosexuality is I had to go back to God's original intent for man and woman. And in that, I learned that there's a natural complementarity that God intended for men and women.
Yes.
And that in most men and women, that has been broken, and there's a hostility between the sexes. And So it was out of that foundation that I had there that the Lord had given me, and that things that I had learned that I knew that, you know, I have to learn how to cover this woman and love her right.
I want you to make one suggestion to a husband that has marital problems right now that's viewing us. One suggestion.
One suggestion?
Yes.
Obey God. Do what He says. The one thing that I have learned is that when there are marital problems, there were a lot of things that Donna struggled with that weren't right on. A lot of the things that she was feeling that weren't true. But it was my job to not lash out at her, but to cover her and protect her there. And it was my job as the man to initiate that first. She didn't have to change anything until I had changed and loved her. And
that's, you got much more than one point there, and that's pretty good. Donna, one point to a woman that's struggling right now in her marriage.
To keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. That for us, we knew that the Lord had put us together, and we were committed, and in staying committed and putting our eyes on Jesus, knowing that He'd seen us through everything else, He would see us through this.
And now the two of you, but now the two of you are, how's your marriage now?
It's wonderful. It's
you on the spot.
It is excellent.
Yes.
It's excellent. We've been married for 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you minister together to people that are homosexuals to help them be set free. Tell me about one person that comes to mind.
Well, there's a young man that we ministered to last year, and he came to our office, and Donna and I had met with him several times, and one day he came over and prayed, and we prayed with him, and the Lord just really began to reveal some things in his life that needed to be taken care of, and we ministered there, we prayed for him. It didn't look like anything had changed or anything was different. He comes back the next week and tells us, you know, I haven't had a homosexual thought or struggle since the day we prayed. And that is still true to this day.
Yes,
and this has been a year now.
Is there anyone that is a lesbian or a homosexual that God will not forgive and God will not make normal?
No.
Absolutely not. Anyone who wants it, anyone who wants redemption, who wants to be the man or the woman that God made them to be, they can be that.
Yes.
And it's the Father's pleasure, it's Jesus' pleasure to be that vessel.
Would you pray for a homosexual or a lesbian that is watching right now? Will this help, a short prayer?
Sure.
All right, look into the camera and pray.
Okay. Father, I thank You that You are a Father who cares. God, You know every sorrow in our hearts. You know every pain. You know every fear. You know the shame, God.
Yes.
God, You know those things that we struggle with right now, deep in our hearts, those places where we feel like we've failed You, we feel like we've failed others. You know that. You're very aware of that. And You're a Father who does not hold us responsible there to fix that without someone showing us the way. And You're a Father who wants to come alongside of us. You're a Father who wants to take us by the hand and say, I know you didn't get what you needed, and I want to give that to you. I want to show you how to grow up and be who I made you to be and walk out of this. So Father, whoever that is out there today who needs that word from You, that you're a God who loves us, and that You sent Your Son to die for us and pay that price, God.
Yes.
God, I just pray that You reach in there and touch their heart right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank You, Jesus.
Amen.
That was a man that was hopeless. Today he's married, happily married, children, wonderful family, ministering to others with similar problems. Hopeless does not have to be in your vocabulary. You see, the opposite of hopeless is Jesus. Not just religious Jesus, but intimacy with God through repentance of your sins, asking God to forgive you because of the blood of Jesus. And that blood, that precious blood, is more than enough. You can be free. Let no man lie to you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. His name is Jesus. Reality. Truth. No more hopelessness. You're free.